Know this, saith the Spirit of the Lord, the day is coming and now is that you'll be spending as much time together as you are apart. You'll be spending as much time together in corporate worship as you do in private worship. Know this, that even as there's things that only can be accomplished in your private settings, there are also things of my anointing that can only be accomplished in corporate anointing, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. And as I said in my word, that the streams make glad, this river makes glad the city of our God. Know this, that you are part of that river. And your coming together produces a river that makes glad and produces my glory and brings to pass my will in the corporate, saith the Lord. When you gather together, it is well pleasing to me. And I can accomplish in these hours what it might take you many, many hours of yourself to accomplish, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. What did he say? There was a river whose streams. Marty, come here. See, a river, but it said it streams. The streams, same word, tributaries, creeks, channels. I'm one. I'm just a tributary. But with me and Marty, he's a tributary. When we get hooked up, come and start worshiping. Hallelujah. You got two little creeks running together. Hallelujah. It gets wider. Step back, Marty. It gets wider, deeper. Come on. Hallelujah. This is what he was talking about. Glory. Whose tributaries make a river. That's what he's talking about. We are whose streams make up a river that makes God's place of dwelling so glad. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited to see what he's going to do next. Well, come on, don't stop worshiping. You can sit or stand, but don't stop. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. I glorify you. I glorify you. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. Glory. As your spirit well detects that something has changed in the realm of the spirit. For truly, this season has begun, is a season of pouring out of my spirit upon all flesh. And truly this, to you, as a church, is now a season of refreshing from my throne, saith the Spirit of grace. But know this, that no season sin of the Lord should end, but should give way to the next, and to the next, and to the next. Let it not be said among you, or even in your heart, that we've rode high times before, only to find lulls in between. Know this, that if a lull came, it wasn't because I sent it. It wasn't because the devil and all of his arch rivalry had any capacity in and of himself to stop what I was doing. But know this, it is the air of expectancy that continues to fuel any season, saith the Spirit of grace. And the more that you add fuel and expectancy to what I do, know this, that one wave will give itself over to another wave. And this can be ridden all the way in to the revival. saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Have you noticed that something has changed dramatically in the last few weeks? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Change dramatically. Ooh, hallelujah. My God, I'll take all of it I can get. Hallelujah. And it's not been letting us go recently. And it's been changing the order of things recently. There was a prophecy that he said in one of the services that he wanted to come and reconstruct what we thought a service should be. Just take it and blow it completely out of the water. The Friday nights have been strange lately. Good strange. We come in here and get ready to call in the lost. And the last couple, it's been so heavy, so thick. Nobody says anything. You just find a place to crawl up in a ball and just soak for about 2 or 3 hours. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Miracles are taking place. The prophetic, the last few Sundays, my God, it wasn't Sunday something. That line of all the people that got filled, and that guy came in. He told me he was coming. And the man of faith, I was thinking, all right, yeah, okay. Because he always, like, that funeral was... I always have the best time at funerals, because you got a chance to preach the gospel, and wasn't it light in here? It was so light, and I didn't have to do anything. It was just follow the Holy Spirit, and I could just move like I wanted to, and it was a very special day. It really was. And those black folk, they just, man, I'll tell you what. Yeah, yeah. And they liked it that I called myself a cracker. And they just enjoyed it. They really just enjoyed it. And they kept coming up. And some of you are around later on when we had after the service, and John L., the guy that got saved, and he and his girlfriend, I guess both of them got filled. I don't know. I know they said that he was over praying in tongues, and she was too, I guess. And, he said, man, he goes, I've been in churches all my life, but this is the greatest thing I've ever seen or been around. He goes, it's in my chest. I can't. He goes, it's all over me. He goes, I've never felt this in my life. And he said, preacher, they were talking about you on 2nd Street last night. I said, man, that's good. He says, no, really, for 3 hours they were over there talking about, you know, what went on. And all of them were coming up saying, man, how long you been here? Man, I want to go. I want to come over here. So, hallelujah. They just, you know, they never have felt. But he said recently in one of the, I love this. He said the city was going to come to us. Isn't that great? The city was going to come to us. And I believe it. Hallelujah. The prophetic is proving itself, proving its Easter. We had that powerful, powerful service, and all people were up here, and then the Lord gave that short word about that He was starting something, and that through our authority, there would be people that in our families that would be saved, and that they would be standing with us the next Easter. And some of my family that, you know, were out of town, there must have been 20 of them in here that day. And, they got home, and that afternoon, I got a call, and the boy that played the violin, he called me ecstatic. He goes, you know what? He goes, and I mean, he was excited, and I don't know how often they hear prophecy, but he said, man, he goes, you know such and such, or, and he named a cousin of ours, a female cousin that's just about our age, and he said, she got saved today, and she'd been 30 years. He said she walked the aisle and got saved in a church, and the whole family was. He goes, And he was like, "And you just prophesied it today." He was like, that prophecy just came. I said, "My God, is that so wonderful? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah." So been bound up and for years and years and years. Went forward and just cried and cried and fell over the altar or whatever and just gave her life to Christ. Hallelujah. We're living in great times right now. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter where you're at, if you're part of something where he can get involved. I was talking to Matt and they were rejoicing about some of the services they'd been in this weekend and going back, and then I said, "Man, Deanne and Gerald, they called in and said, We're gonna visit over with Andrew Womack. He's on the East Coast," and of course Blake and Travis had went to his school, so they wanted to go over there. And I love him. I've watched him several times. But they said, you know, they called to talk about the service. They said, "Man, we had gotten all kind of reports when we got home about how the service was on Sunday." And I said, "Well, I wanted to call you, but I didn't want to rub it in. Because it seemed like every time, you know, if you're gone, somebody will say, 'You missed the best.'" And I always, now what I do is I when I call, if I'm going to rub it in, I say, "It was one of the top 10 of all time. I mean, you just happened to be gone of, you know, 15 years, it was one of the top 10 of all time." So that makes everybody feel better too, you know, really. But I didn't say all that, but I just said, "Well, I wanted somebody else to tell you, but it was really good." But Gerald was saying that the service where he was at, he said it was, man, he said, "I heard about what went on and all the people that got filled with the Spirit." And he said, "You won't believe it." He said, "It was like you guys, you and Brother Andrew must have been emailing each other or something." He said, "He preached and then his closing didn't have anything to do much with what he ministered on, but he gave an altar call for people to get filled with the Spirit." And he said, "Born again if you need to, but let's go the next step and get filled with the Spirit." And there was just piles of people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So he's doing something powerful, isn't he? All over. All over. Well, these prophetic services, they're also what people are looking forward to. Because when he come in and God, it's just like what Paul described. He said that you could prophesy and answer the questions of men's heart through the corporate worship and someone stepping forward, and as that prophetic anointing comes on you, that it doesn't mean necessarily, you know, that you just say, "Okay, yea, thus saith the Lord." You guys know what our prophetic services are. It's all prophecy is the mind of Christ dropping down to answer questions, the questions of men's hearts at a particular time. And he can answer. How does he do that? I don't know. He can answer like 50 people's questions, those things that are really standing between them and God, or everybody in the service. And it just seems like he'll go this way, that way. And in your natural mind, you're thinking, "Wow, you know, look at all the rabbit trails." But then if it's prophecy, it always winds up to come back to glorify him. Totally glorify him. And this is what the city is amazed by, is that we're a prophetic church. We're a prophetic church. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for it. We never, ever want to take it for granted. We love you so much. We thank you so much. Jesus, you're so welcome in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look for just a few minutes at Mark, a verse in chapter 9. It's good to see Donna here with us. Amen. It's good to be in the sunshine, she said. She's part of our extended family. She was host to a couple of our ladies during the conference they had. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 38. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just receive this grace and look for the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit to teach us and to lead and guide us into all truth. Thy word is truth. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, truly I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believeth in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. And if your hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost his saltness, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Have salt in yourself, and have peace one with another. Amen. John saw a guy casting out devils, and he pulled aside to tell the guy, What are you doing? And the guy said, Well, I'm casting out devils in Jesus' name. He said, You don't follow us. Stop it. In other words, you're not worthy to do this unless you're part of what we're doing. I don't know how the guy responded. I don't know how it may have offended him, what kind of stumbling block that it may have put in front of his path that day to walk away thinking, okay, if one of the guys that walks with Jesus, if he tells me I can't do this, then I guess I won't do it anymore. You know, and he must be speaking with Jesus or for Jesus. I see him often standing beside Jesus. In fact, he may have not have thought this, but you know, there was kind of an inner circle where Jesus found 3 men that really kind of sold themselves out even more than the others. And this guy could have looked at this situation and found a reason for offense, and very possibly could have, without the grace that was being showed right there to John, because I think John probably found this guy later on and made amends. But Jesus began to talk about offenses, and he talked about the little ones. For whosoever shall offend, in verse 42, one of these little ones that believeth in me, he's not exempting little children, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about every little one, every convert that will come into the kingdom of God and begin to taste the waters of the kingdom and say, Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I cast out devils? Can I lay hands on the sick? Can I walk in the same power that you walk in? And on and on and on of everything that's an invitation to the goodness and greatness of God. And he said, beware that you do not offend one of these little ones. And he was talking about the offense that would cause such a stumbling block that would cause an irreparable kind of issue in their life that you hear time and time again. It won't necessarily stand up on the day of judgment that people will say, well, I left the church because of hypocrites, or I left the church because somebody offended me. But nevertheless, that will be repeated millions and millions and millions and millions of times. But Jesus gave a tremendous warning. But he did not just give a warning. He gave a tremendous teaching. And he was very... We can't say he was exaggerative, but he was very extravagant and going to the very place of where, I mean, as far deep in the depths of things that you could possibly go. He began to give examples, like he began to talk about that if your, let's see, hand, verse 43, offend thee. Now he's typifying this, the body. And he's talking about your body being part of your flesh. And he's talking about that if anything has the ability to cause you to be an offense to someone else. And the essence of this boils down to the grassroots of a walk of love and compassion, and how much you're dead to the rudiments of your flesh and of this world. And Jesus puts it in a very extravagant place, but nevertheless, I do not believe he was exaggerating to the point that he was saying, you do whatever it takes. Now, he's not advocating maiming yourself. He's not sadistic in the sense that he wants you to go around and pluck out your eye, cut off your foot, or take off a hand. Because people have done that. I mean, they really have. In places where they don't understand, you won't believe what monks have done to their body because they could not get the lust out of their soul. So physically doing something to yourself doesn't change the problem. But Jesus was telling us this in the spirit realm, in the same way that you would go, that if you knew that your hand, if you knew that that hand had the capacity to somehow keep you out of the walk of God, and even the capacity to the extremity take you into total darkness for eternity and take other people with you by a lifestyle of destroying people's life, then if necessary, you cut that hand off. And again, he was talking about the emotions of the flesh and that kind of lifestyle. When he gets down to the last part of this chapter and he talks about in verse 49, this is a very peculiar verse. We hardly understand it, except we understand it in the context by which Jesus was speaking. It's very easy to go past this and say, what is he saying there? He says, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Well, I don't quite get that, Lord. What are you talking about? Salt is good. I get that. What is salt? Well, it's a preservative. It's a preservative. It's supposed to be the wherewithal that the things are preserved, the meat is preserved. It's a seasoning. It's a seasoning. We're the seasoning of the world. We're supposed to bring the light of Christ. But in this sense of the word, he also is teaching us something here about ourselves. And he's teaching us something about how important it is to allow us to come under the purging power of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we find out very shortly on this walk, that once you're born again, we said this Sunday, and you don't go too far into it, praying in tongues, that you find out that much to your shock, to your dismay, and to your horror, that you're not the hot shot that you thought you were. Surprisingly, what is really even a greater shock is when you get down the road a ways and you keep praying in tongues and you get a few years or 10 years or 15 years and then things start coming up and you say, oh my God, oh my God, what devils these are. And to find out that things are just now surfacing to where that you can see them. That's usually when we go underground, because something usually comes right along behind that and tells us, you egg-sucking dog. You dirty thing, you. It took you this long for this to come up? See, Jesus said this, and this is what's really peculiar, but it's neat. He said, for everyone shall be salted with fire. Everybody that comes into this kingdom, you stay in it very long, there is a purging process. The fire of God is going to come through His love. And every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Well, what are you talking about sacrifices? He is quoting an Old Testament ritual that said, the priest said, every meat offering, I think you can find it in Leviticus, every meat offering, you bring a leg of lamb to be sacrificed or to be given to the priest, it must be salted with salt. It must have the preservative. The flesh that you're offering up has to be salted with the preservative. It has to. So what is Jesus saying there? Is he talking off the top of his head? And of course, we know that he doesn't, and nor did he. But he said, everyone that comes into this kingdom will be salted with fire, and every sacrifice will be salted with salt. What sacrifice? He just named them. He just named the hand, the foot, the eye, every flesh offering that you come into contact with on this road of discovery, that you come to the place where you realize that the fire in you produces something of an acknowledgement that says, wait a minute, that's something that'll cause an offense. It may not be in the extremities of taking you into hell or somebody else. But what he's talking about here is the sacrifices that you will inevitably come to on a life's journey of living under the fire, is that preservative will produce places inside of you that eyes have to be plucked out, limbs have to be cut off, things that have been indigenous to your life for an eternity of living just a normal, what you thought was, now I'm under shock. I can't believe that. And God says, okay, but you're under the fire. Let this same fire be the preservative that brings forth the purging, and let me lop it off. Take the meat sacrifice and offer it unto me, and you will. You'll be happy when you do. Hallelujah. You'll be happy when you do. The problem is this. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. You keep praying in tongues, you'll come to higher levels where, you know, and I'd say probably just about everybody in here, at least are those levels where you're not struggling necessarily with those things that you first came into the kingdom with. I mean, it's not those real deep moral issues. The further you go, to your prayer warrior, I don't care if you're a Dave Roberson or a Gary Carpenter or Tim Stemple or anybody that we may esteem, you keep praying The only way that He can get you past impasses, and everybody will have them. Everybody. Everybody will have them. You keep praying long enough, the devil will come to corral the place that you find a reservoir on a continual basis, that you find your joy and your peace from, and you say, boy, these are refreshing moments. Because he hates it. You know, when you first start out worshiping, it's kind of like a honeymoon for a while. And then it seems like it dries up. That's when usually people, when things dry up, and they go 3, 4, 5 times or 5 days in a row or a week in a row or 2 weeks or however long, and their tongue doesn't seem anointed and their worship doesn't seem anointed, that's usually when people get very, very, very creative. Very creative. Something kicks in and says, oh, God must have changed His will for me. I need to start something creative. I need to start a ministry, and that'll please God. I need to go start something, or I need to go do something, and maybe I need to just jump. I don't know why I feel so dry. Guess what? The enemy has come for sure. Because in between us and revival, every one of us have to face him down. But it amazes me that even though it's his fault, God comes to us to say, what in this can I help you lop off, cut out? What level of flesh will you yield up to me? Even though, yes, he's the one, but the best way I can get you past him is help you die a little bit more. And little one, if you'll just keep praying and don't get real creative and try to go start a Bible school or some kind of neat thing that you think that'll please God, just keep praying. I know it's miserable. I know it. But every sacrifice is going to come under fire. And every sacrifice, this fire is going to be the salt wherewith it'll cut off legs, it'll cut off arms. I thought we were trying to get the maimed whole. That's right, but we got to get maimed to get them whole. Isn't that amazing? And God doesn't look at us as a wreck. See, we're looking at times where, oh God, I hate myself. I just found out that there's still more of me in there. That's when, honestly, God looks at it totally different. As long as we thought, see, because most people, and I'm not trying to be mean or stereotype, but unless you're on this kind of walk, you're going to churches where you think you're great. You really do. You think you're just wonderful. You're probably going to heaven. But when he comes with the salt and lays it on you, Dr. Jekyll turns into Mr. Hyde. And people don't understand why the move of God's not in their churches. And why you can't get little kids out of wheelchairs. But when he begins to work the salt, and every sacrifice in your life, in other words, everything that must be lifted up has to come through that process of fire. And when it does, when he comes in his loving mercies and begins to cause you to see things, that's really the time before when you thought, hey, everything I am God's man or God's woman, and I'm waiting for everybody else to catch up. But I'm praying for him. I'm praying for him. And what, I don't know why everybody's having such a hard time growing, but me and God's got our own thing going. But when you discover things about yourself, that's when you should throw a barbecue. Oh my God, pour out the steaks and hey, what are we celebrating? We're barbecuing me. Because I'm a flesh mess. And for a long time I thought I was so good, great. And I've been praying in tongues for a long time, and now all the uglies have come up. But guess what, people? On the other side of those sacrifices are some of the greatest anointings that you'll ever face. Hallelujah. Everyone will be seasoned. If you want this walk, everyone will be seasoned. They will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice and every lopping off, every meat offering. You don't think eyes and legs and hands are meat offerings? Oh yeah, they're the parts of your flesh that have been there so long that even when somebody sits you down in a real sweet way and says, you know, you've got that sarcastic way about you and you don't even know it. Oh yeah, right. Sure. Duh. You think. But again, I'm preaching all this to you and not to me. Because me and God, He took me to a place where I'm up above all this. Yeah, right? Allison's not going for it. Well, the barbecue should make us feel better. We should have those. We should have flesh-burning barbecues. Yeah, while my wife is fasting, it'll save us money. Do you know, I'll never forget, I was sitting in a restaurant with Dave and Tim in Orlando. And that was when I first was getting to know him. And I'd drive any place to get to talk to him. And Tim called me and said, "We're going to be going down to Orlando. We're going to be flying in at such and such a time, and we're doing a show for," what's that Jewish guy that has the Sid Roth? He said, "We're doing a show for him. If you want to drive up and see us, you can have breakfast with us." I said, "Man, for sure, I'll do that." This has been 10, 12 years ago. And Dave didn't know me, and I didn't know him, except he was saying some things that it was incredible. And we were sitting at a booth, the four of us. I believe this is when he began to tell me. He said, "You know," and some of you have heard him tell this before, but it was so amazing. He said, "I had a vision one time." He said, "It just came to me and it just appeared." And he said, I saw, I was kind of out from the earth, and I saw this whole sphere, the whole earth." And he said, "There was a tremendous darkness that just covered the whole thing." And he said that every once in a while, someone would elude the darkness or press past it with such, you know, such a veracity, such a desire, such a going forward that they would break through the darkness, and it would be like sometimes they'd get a hand up above." And he said when they went back to where they were at, they get a hand extended above the darkness. They came back and it was like light appeared right in that vicinity of the world where they were at. And they would lay their hands on people and just people would be just healed and blessed and ministered to. He said some people popped their heads up above it and they came back and they taught great doctrine. It was so amazing, he said, and it was like there were firebrands, just like, you know, little dots of light all through this darkness. And he said the Holy Spirit asked him the question, he's teaching him in the vision. He said, "You know, what is this darkness?" Well, he said himself, Dave said, "It's Satan, it's the devil, it's his work of principality." And he said, "No." He said, it's the flesh. He said, "What has inhibited the church from being able to ascend into those great realms of light has for centuries been a walk of sensuality where they could not take dominion over the principality. So this sphere that's covered is flesh. It's darkness, is flesh." And he said, "But you know what will cause you to be able to break through and receive an outpouring like you see where the light comes and totally dissipates the darkness and
great, great and mighty things are accomplished. And he said, I thought the Lord was going to say, what will break the flesh? What will break the flesh? What he said, I thought, well, you know, here's probably one of the toughest ones that just a real, you know, nailer to the flesh. He thought, well, fasting. He goes, maybe you want me to just really become a faster. He goes, no, it's not fasting. It's not fasting. And so he may have went through that list of different keys to knowledge, and but the Lord said it's none of those in and of themselves. He said, son, what will cause you to walk a walk that is a dominant walk over the flesh is the knowledge that I give you concerning the flesh and how to trump it no matter where you're walking. Hallelujah. In other words, here is the Holy Spirit. He is the preservative fire. You don't put your eggs in one basket. Men have done that and become, some guys, all they've done is fast, 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 and went weird in their doctrine. Some people have done just this, just done that, but the Holy Spirit is the one, like the librarian, that says, okay, look, you want to know how to get past this level of the flesh? Just keep worshiping, keep praying in tongues. Let me reach up here and get this part of the knowledge. Maybe you need to add, you know, a few weeks of fasting here and there. Or maybe you need to increase your levels of hours spent, like Gay was talking about, just in extravagant worship and saying, oh God, I yield to you. But the salt will come. The Holy Spirit is the one who is He is that librarian that says, okay, if you understand that I am the one that delivers to you all these avenues to get you past the flesh so that you're continually walking in a place where every sacrifice is seasoned with salt. There's nothing in your life that'll ever stand there and stand you down, because there's always a key in my presence. There's always something in my mind that'll get you past. It'll lop it off. It'll cut it off. It'll cause you to go to the next level. Hallelujah. There's been times where the fasting wasn't what he wanted me to do. There's been times that was what he wanted me to do. There's been times where he said, you just sit for the next few weeks and do nothing but worship, worship, worship. Whatever he says, whatever he indexes, it is the knowledge that the flesh could stop me, but there is a higher order that'll always cause me to be seasoned with salt. I can get past it. I can go to the next level. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. That's good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just lift our hands. Oh, let's just worship and just lift our hands and just receive His wisdom, His knowledge. Hallelujah, Jesus. Crendo bala Christie bolo Christo te. I love you, Jesus. Immokalee is in revival. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We won't be stopped because we have your wisdom. This is the joy of your Father. That anybody that starts this journey, they do it on their own volition. But I birthed you by the right of grace and birthed you free of charge through someone else's sacrifice. But then to know me and to go on to perfect a life that I can use, it must be upon your volition, your desire. So know this, that you'll never faulted for any time that you spend having to deal with the things that must be taken out by my Spirit. For anyone who starts in this journey and gives themselves over to the desire of having me come and bring this type of purging, know this, that along with it, there is a joy that comes straight out of heaven. For the pleasure of your Father is to see His children love Him enough that they'll go on to allow Him to turn their lives
into something of great use. So know this, that the rejoicing and the wonderful side of this can be only experienced in the joy that you receive as your Father rejoices in you as children that are growing up under the image of His Son. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify you. We're just going to put the buckets up here and you can minister to the Lord as you desire, and you can sit and worship for a while as long as you like. And if anybody has come, you're facing something you need prayer for, well, we're here for that too. But other than that, we just turn you into the Lord and bless you and keep you in all your ways. Thank you for it, Father. We've already had a good time, haven't we? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit. Come. You've already come. But we just keep turning ourselves over more and more. Thank you for the grace. It won't be long that we're going to find ourselves in extended impromptu services. And it won't be a task of the flesh or a made-up agenda because of people getting their emotions all ecstatic. Father, I thank you that it'll be what you're building even now in us. You're fueling the fires. We love you and worship you. Bless your people now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.